Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Mem Vav, and we're starting Mem Hei Omid Beis, roughly 10 lines from the bottom of the Omid, where the Gemara quotes from the Brice of yesterday, Omar Mar, Beyond of Hari Hein Karagle Kol Odom. What is this referring to? So if you go up a little bit higher on the Omid, see we have the middle Toisis, Liknu Shvisa Ba'ukiyonus, the Toisis in the middle of the Omid, go up two more lines higher in the Gemara, and you see it says Toshima. It's almost halfway down the Omid. Toshima Gishamim Shiyodim Erev Yomtiv. If it rained on Erev Yomtiv, Yeshlen Apayim Amul Chalruach. Then when the rain falls, if anybody wants to go and take from that water, they can only take it within the Tchum of the Geshem of that water. Meaning that this is in accordance with what we learned yesterday, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that Cheftzei Hefker Koinen Shvisa, just like every person has his or her own tchum, so too inanimate objects, in this case rainwater, also has its own tchum. So therefore, wherever the Geshamim land up on this world, in the form of a puddle or pool of water, you can go and take the water away from that large puddle or pool, 2,000 amas in each direction, but not more than that.
Even if the puddle is 1,800 feet away from where your home base is?
You can only go and take from that water if you're able to get to the water and take it back to wherever the water can go back. So in your example, you're saying that the water is 1,800 amis from your own home base. That's good, because it's still within 2,000 amis.
You wouldn't be able to go 2,000 feet, 2,000 amis further.
Exactly right, unless you made an Erev. Exactly right. You would not be able to go and take the water in the other direction.
Or for that. I think the wording is kind of funny, because it's saying that the rain puddle is the center of the 2,000, and really...
It is.
Seems
in that Geshem can go, if the Geshem could walk, it could go in 2,000 amas in each direction.
Okay.
And therefore, if you have people that live on the other side of the community, there's another city on the other side of this puddle or this pool of water, so those people can go to go and take it until 2,000 amas of the pool. Not their 2,000 amas, not my 2,000 amas, it's 2,000 amas. So,
It's like, I guess, with the two people, the overlap of the two circles.
Right, exactly. So you can only take the water as far as 2,000 amas from the center of where that water is lying. So that was the case of Gishom Shiyorim made Erev Yomtiv. Because since they fell on Erev Yomtiv, it means that they were already here on planet Earth on Friday night, or Erev Yomtiv means Leil Yomtiv. Let's assume Leil Yomtiv was Bein HaShemesh is 6:30. At 6:30, the water was there, and it was pooled and puddled up together in one area, wherever that is. It has 2,000 amas in each direction. However, what happens if the rain rained on Yomtiv? It rained on Yomtiv itself. Harihein k'ragli kol adam. The reason why they're ragli kol adam, it means that they do not have their own tchum, they don't have their own kinyan shvisa, and therefore you and I and everybody else can go and take as much water as we want, and take it into our tchum. Ignore the 2,000 amas of the Geshem, only worry about your own tchum of the 2,000 amas.
Why isn't it no love?
Do me a favor, please. Look at the top line of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Do you see? What does it say?
No way.
Okay. So, getting back to our Gemara. The Gemara is saying that when the Geshem falls out on Yomtiv itself, it does not create its own Mokum Shvisa, but rather, its Tchum is your Tchum, or your Tchum is its Tchum. The reason for that is very, very simple. Because you can only be kind of Shvisa at the time of Bein HaShemeshes on Leil Yomtiv. This water didn't exist on planet Earth at that time. It only came down in the morning. Therefore, it didn't get a Kinyan Shvisa the night before. It doesn't get a Kinyan Shvisa at all. And therefore, everybody can go and grab the water and take it into their own tchum. Getting now to the bottom of the Omer, 10 lines from the bottom. Omer Mar. We just said now, Yomtiv Harihein K'ragli Kol Adam. Freiti Mar Bamai. Likni Shvisa B'Ukiyonus. Why don't we go and say that the rainwater, in fact, was Koine Shvisa at the time of 6:30 on Leil Yomtiv and Bein HaShemeshes? Why? Because that water did exist. Where did it exist? It didn't exist in the puddle next to my community, next to where I live. But it existed in Lukianus, in the Atlantic Ocean. And the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment, according to Reb Lezer, that the assumption is that all the water up in the clouds, it comes down, all came up to the clouds as a result of that scientific formula called evaporation. That the water down here below, some of it evaporated, went up to Shemayim, went up to the clouds, and then it comes down again, once again. Ah, if that's the case, so then 6:30 on Leil Yom Tov, I say 6:30 as an arbitrary time, the Beinish Moshes, so the Beinish Moshes on Leil Yom Tov, at that time it was, we'd like to take the professor. Okay, you can leave it up for it, doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Who's your head?
That's it. Come
on.
Sit all that.
I got it.
46B? 46B, yeah, okay. We're actually 45B. To be or not to be? 45B. Yeah, six lines from the bottom. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, why don't we say that at 6:30, Beinash Marshes on Leil Yom Tov, the water was Koine Shvisa, where in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And guess what happened? Now that it fell on Yom Tov morning, it has gone beyond the 2,000 Amos where it was Koine Shvisa. Perhaps it's gone as much as 100 miles away. I don't know, 1,000 miles away. Wherever the water landed up, in the clouds and then onto planet Earth, we should go and say that because it's gone more than 2,000 amos from its makom shvisa, then you're only entitled to 4 amos altogether. And not say harhein karagli kol adam. We should go and say that you can only take the water up to 4 amos away from wherever that water is. So by the fact that we do not say that, lema, let us say the like Reb Lezer. It's Reb Lezer that said that the whole world, when it gets rain, it gets it from the Atlantic Ocean. Say Tzachos, that's not the case. Here we're talking about not brand new water that was still in the Atlantic on 6:30 on Leil Yom Tov night, and then after that it evaporated and went up to the clouds. It was already in the clouds on Erev Yom Tov. How do I know? Because Erev Yom Tov was very cloudy. How do I know? The doorman told me, or I heard on the radio, it's going to be cloudy the whole day. I saw clouds, and so therefore these waters were already there from Thursday morning, Thursday night. In other words, before Leil Yom Tov, already on Erev Yom Tov. If that's the case, so then they were not Koine Shvisa in the Ukiyonis, in the Atlantic, they were Koine Shvisa in the clouds. And we're going to talk about the Koine Shvisa in the clouds in a moment. But one thing is for sure, they were not in the Ukiyonis on Leil Yom Tov at 6:30 Beinish Moshes, because they were already there in the clouds from Erev Yom Tov. Okay. How do you know that these are the same clouds? After all, the clouds don't just stay stationary. The wind blows and they move on from town to town to town. So it could be talk of the clouds of Erev Yom Tov were from the night before the water that evaporated from the Atlantic. Could be. But it could be that the ones that are coming now and producing the rain on Yom Tov morning are from clouds that came this morning. And they produced water, or they had the evaporated water from last night, from the Okeanos. So, how do you know? See, one gives two answers. Number one, the Isla Simna, the Gavayu, the Jewish observer, the very observant individual, he had a simon, and the clouds look exactly the same as yesterday's clouds. He was able to see that there were no winds, no drafts. All the clouds remained in place from the day before.
He watched it from the holes.
I'm sorry?
He watched it.
That's why he's a Jewish observer. He was a very observant Jew.
Because the daf was in the clouds.
And the daf was in the clouds. Anyway, so he was zooming around. So he watched it the whole time. He made sure it didn't move. In fact, he even said, clouds don't move. So we didn't have a problem with Ukiyonis water. Because the whole din of Tchumen, other than a quint of Akiva, and a quint of Meir is Talmud, everybody else holds that Tchumen is mid-Rabbanon. So, Itaka don't know whether this cloud is the cloud that was there from Erev Yom Tov, or this is a brand new cloud that just came on the scene this morning. I really am not such a cloud expert, and that being the case, says the Gemara... Yes. So since it's a suffix d'vrayim, d'vrayim means it's midrabanan, the whole din tchum d'rabanan. So d'vrayim l'hakam, therefore I'm going to assume that the clouds produce the water, or these are water clouds already from yesterday and not from this morning. And that being the case, it never got a kinyan shvisa in the ukiyonis. Why are we talking about that at 6:30 leil yontif? Guess what happened? It was kinyan shvisa up in the clouds, because that's what you're telling me. You're telling me that this water that fell today on yontif was already in the clouds on erev yontif. Fine, wherever in the clouds it was, it should be kinyan shvisa then. And now it's coming down. It's more than 2,000 amos away. So tip should be no, maybe you can be pushed from this. We had the shayla a couple of days ago. Is it chum l'mal miyud or ain't chum l'mal miyud? Remember we spoke about what the nafkimina would be, like a svina, a person who's koyfeit, makes a kvitza b'shem, a person who walks on a narrow platform. So do you have a din of chum l'mal miyud? Oh! I can bring a rai over here, the ein tchumen l'mal miyud. So therefore, even if I can identify these waters, somebody try to please mute yourself, if you'd be so kind. Somebody in the Zoom audience. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara is saying, even if you know for sure that the clouds were there from yesterday, and so therefore the water was kind of shvisa in the clouds, it doesn't bother us. Why doesn't it bother us? Because the clouds, by definition, are lamala mi'asara tvachim. They're higher than 10 tvachim from planet Earth. So there's no din of tchumen up there. That just doesn't apply. And therefore, they were not kohen shvisa at all. They're not kohen shvisa at all. When they came down on Yom Tov, harihen karagli kalodim, anybody can go and take as much water as they want. Because if you're going to tell me, yesh tchumen lamala miyud, so if I can identify which cloud it was, oh, that's the cloud up there, Rabbi Yisrael. That's the one. And that has all the water. And that was shoivus from the night before. I'm not going to take any of that water. Because when it came from the Shemayim down to planet Earth, it's more than 2,000 amis, it's probably miles and miles and miles. And that being the case, I shouldn't be able to take any of the water because it should be out of its chum. I should only be able to use it within 4 amis of the water. Is the chasum an ain't chum l'mal miyud? So if you want to know, I'm Eimelach, yesh tchumen. You have no raya. Maybe there is tchumen l'mal miyud. My be'eva mivla bli. What does that mean? Says the last Rashi on the Yomid. U kiman the less no dummy. It's as if it doesn't exist. Leikonu lehu shvisa emesh. By the fact that the water is in the clouds, and they are belua, they are absorbed into the clouds. See, they don't really exist. It's like you have blias inside a pot, or inside a pan. Of course, if you go and scrub it and rub it out and all that, it'll come out. But otherwise, do I see it? There's no, it's not be'en. There's no mamoshes. Here, too, there's no water be'en. It's all just absorbed. Like if you have a sponge and you have all the water in it, I don't see. Let's go and give a kvetch to the sponge and then it'll come out. But until then, the water kind of doesn't exist. So you have the same type of situation here. And therefore, there was no mayim to be kodesh vis. Okay. Zog the Gemara. So you're telling me that the water didn't even exist, it was non-existent? Rashi says, command less no dummy. If that's the case, we get back to Barry's question of 10 minutes ago. If anything, that really proves that this is noilet. This is not just noilet in the sense that until now there was water up there, and now the water is down here. You're telling me it's command less no dummy, it's as if it didn't even exist. If it didn't exist, it was just born. It's brand new born water. So it should be a din of muktzah of noilet. And the Dasiri. So by Alamaiba Ovin Mainid Naidi. No, the truth of the matter is there is water up in the clouds. Raboisai, for experiment, try to go up to the clouds, cut through and see whether you fall into major pools of water. So there is water within the clouds. It's not that it's absorbed in the sides of the clouds. However, that water is constantly in motion, going back and forth in the cloud. It's sloshing back and forth. And we had that svara, if you remember, a couple of days ago from Reb Zeira, that a person who's going besvina during the period of time of Ben HaShemoshos, if the svina is on the move, it's going, then the person never gets the benefit of a shvisa. And the reason is, the Gemara said, because the svina is always on going Hoylus Svina Noit Losoi Betchilas Arba.
Four Amas keep moving.
And I keep moving, exactly like Uri is saying. You see how important it is, Uri, that you're here, you can help us out. Noit Losoi Betchilas Arba, Mem Chosin Besoif Arba. It's on the move. And so therefore, you can't pin it down at 6:30 of the Bein HaShemashes, because at 6:30, as the person is shoivis with one foot here in the Svina case, the person picks up a foot to move, guess what? When he puts the foot down, he's already 4 Amos, 10 Amos, 20 Amos further. So there's no, it's constantly on the move, in motion. Here too, the water in the oven is in motion, and therefore it never stops at 6:30, so it's not koine shvisa. So if you want, once you give me that teretz, what you can go and say now is that the same teretz on the original kasha. We asked the original kasha, what happens if the water in the clouds of this morning, these are brand new clouds, because yesterday it was nice and sunny all day. See, the nice clouds. So where did the water get to the clouds? They must have come from the ukiyaris the night before. The night before was this man of 6:30 of the Bein HaShemashes. So we said, how can you go and use the water? The water is now outside of its tchum, and this is not water in the clouds. It's not a shayla of the Malam Yasara. This is water down below on planet Earth. And that, the Okeanos, the Atlantic, from where I'm sitting, is 10 miles away. How can I go and use the water? It came from the Okeanos. Says the Gemara, Einachanami came from the Okeanos, but it was not koine shvis of the Okeanos, because the Atlantic is constantly on the move. The waters are always flowing. So therefore, it was not koine shvisa. But Tanya, I'll bring a right tackle from a braisa.
So the tchum can't move; it has to stay in one place, or it can move. I'm not very clear.
What we're saying is that you can, to be koine shvisa, to go and establish a residence at the key moment of Bein HaShemashes on either Friday night or Leil Yom Tov, you have to be stationary and not in motion. Because if you're moving, then the Shvisa says, hey, where are you going to stop? I want to go make 2,000 Amis around you, but I don't know where your residence is. You're constantly on the move. You're front and back and going to the right, to the side, to the up. Anyway, as we look at, yes.
In a way, when it's not stationary, you actually have more leeway to move, because you're not bound by the 2,000 Amis.
Exactly.
You're bound by 4 Amis that constantly can move, right?
It's always on the move. So since it's on the move, there is no kinyan shvisa.
Less
restriction, exactly. Less limitation, less restriction.
So if someone's kinyan shvisa with radlov and they're moving, they don't stand still the entire Bein HaShemashes time.
It really depends, I guess, on the speed of his movement. Could be that the average person walks slowly enough, it's deemed to be just like he is in one place. Because by the Svina, the Gemara used the expression that it takes him from his 4 Amis and moves him to the next 4 Amis.
Another 4 Amis, but if it takes the time it takes you to walk 4 Amis, you have a chance to, that overlaps with Bein HaShemashes, and you're really stationary, because 4 Amis is not considered a movement.
See, if you're running in the marathon at that time, presumably you would not get a kinyan shvisa. If, however, you're just walking along nicely and slowly. So Rashi explained over there, Kisha Oker is raglo, and he picks his foot up. Before he puts his foot down, the Svina might see also midal amis. He's already gone more than 4 amis. Right? I picked up my foot to walk one step. Guess what? Before I put my foot down, I'm already 10 feet further on, because of the fact that the Svina is moving him as he's walking. But if a person goes slightly, it could very well be that you wouldn't say this svara of the maidenid tidy. And says in Marvitanya, and I have a braisa that in fact proves what we're saying. These are flowing rivers. Umayonis, mayonis are streams down below, or wells, or streams. Yeah. Hanoivim, which are also, noivim means also flowing. Now, why they're karagli kolodim? Why not go say that the water is kodeshvisa in that place? It was there last night at 6:30, so how am I allowed to go and move it? The answer is because they're constantly on the move. These are not the same waters as before. Okay, anyway, this was a very exciting sugya, but we started off with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah. Now, what did Rabbi Yochanan Nuri say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said, if a person is traveling on Erev Shabbos, it comes now Friday night, he's in a caravan, the caravan driver happens to be a Gentile, and when it comes 6:30 on Friday night, when he wants to be Koinish Visa, he falls asleep at the wheel. Good thing is that he's not driving, the other guy's driving. So he falls asleep, and then he wakes up an hour later, half an hour later, and he realizes that the caravan has stopped, and he wants to know, do I have a kinyan shvi'is of 2,000 amos in each direction from where we just stopped now, or when it was at 6:30? I didn't know it was going at 6:30. I was fast asleep. What happened? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says in our Mishnah, even though the guy is fast asleep, if you could pinpoint where the caravan was at 6:30, that was his Malkaim Shvisa. But he didn't know what was going on. He didn't need to go to know what was going on.
It's a physical
thing. It's a physical, it's a chepsa thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses every individual at 6:30. If you, wherever you're standing, wherever you're sitting, you get an automatic Kinyan Shvisa at that Malkaim. Of course, unless his natural intention is otherwise. In other words, if a person at 6:30, he happens to be in shul, we don't say, okay, you're kind of shvi'is in shul, because his kavana naturally is that his residence is at home, unless he has demonstrated otherwise by putting out an Erev or being holech baraglav to a mokum 2,000 amos away. But a normal individual is not making an Erev, so he has his regular residence. If you are traveling, however, your residence is at 6:30 at Benish Moshe's time, even if you're asleep, even if you're not mechavin, it happens automatically. That's what the Birch Manuri said. The Chum say, no. You were asleep, you don't get anything. And therefore, whenever you wake up, you get 4 Amos altogether, as if you went beyond your Tchum, because you don't know where your Tchum is. You get 4 Amos, and that's it. Obviously, the Birch Manuri is Mekel. He gives you 2,000 Amos. The Chum only give you 4 Amos. The Gemara said that the Svara of Yibir Chamnuri has to do with Chefzi Hefker Koin and Shvisa. Chefzi Hefker means Chafetzim that don't belong to anybody. These are inanimate objects. They're also Koin and Shvisa, and therefore if you want to take one of those objects on Yontiv, you can be Koin, that's not a problem, but you cannot take it beyond the 2,000 Amos of the Shvisa of the Kalim. Good, anyway, bottom line, that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. In the case of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is being Mekel, because he's giving you 2,000 Amos, the Chum only giving you 4 Amos. Parenthetically, we're going to need this in another 2 or 3 lines. In the case of the Chefze Hefker, there Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is being Machmir, because if I hold that Chefze Hefker are not Koine Shvisa, that means that any one of us, when we come across a Chefetz Hefker in Rishus Harabim, on Yontif, I could use such a nice crystal bowl. It really looks nice. And there's a big sign here saying that it's Hefker. I'm going to go and take it with me and take it home. Even you're going to go beyond the 2,000 Amos of the Chafetzin. If I hold Chefzi Hefker, Einon, Koin and Shvisa, then it's Keragli Kaladam. I can take it wherever I want. Wherever my Tchum is, that's where I take it. So, by the fact that Yechman Nuri says, even by Chafetzin, that they're Koin and Shvisa, that could be a chumrah. The chumrah is you cannot go and take it out of the tchum of the chafetzim themselves. So in our Mishnah, the Birch Manuri is a kula. In the case of the chafetzim, it's a chumrah. But we're focusing only on the kula part for the first at this time. Zokhi Mara, back to Mem Vov Amir Aleph, 5 lines from the top. Om Rav Yanka Bar Ibi, Om Rav Yishu Ben Levi. In the name of Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that in the case of the sleeping fellow at the time of 6:30, he's koine shvisa 2,000 amos. Amli Rabbi Zeira Bianca Maridi. Remember, Bianca Maridi is quoting Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. So the Seder says to Bianca Maridi, the fate of shmielacha, I mechlala shmielacha. How did you hear this from Rabbi Shuv ben Levi? Did you hear befeidish? Another Rabbi Shuv ben Levi said, Rabbi, we just finished learning the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Or Miklala, there was some general, generic discussion, and from that you extracted that the halacha, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amalaisi said Befeidish merely. I heard Befeidish. I heard Rabbi Shimon ben Levi get up at the Amud, and he said, Rabbi Sai, he's going to listen, the halacha is Aziv Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Period. What is the klola that he asked? Maybe he said it generally and generically. Oh, the Yom Rabbi Shimon Levi, the same Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said, halacha kidivya mekel be erev. That whenever you come to erev in halachas, the halacha is like divrei hamekel. Now, mind you, our Mishnah is not talking about an erev. Our Mishnah is talking about the initial Kinyan Shvisa, where is this person residing at 6:30 on Friday night or on Leil Yontif? We're not talking about adding an additional 2,000 amos in one direction and cutting it off in the other direction. We're not talking about Erev. However, Rashi points out that when we say the word Erev, we mean it much, much more broadly than the individual Alocha Be'eruvei Tchumen. If you look at 10 lines in the top of the Rashi, be Erev. The whole parasha of Hilchas Erevin, which includes, of course, the initial Hilchas Tchumen, and then the expansion thereof in one direction by putting away an Erev. So Rav Shulman and Levi says, we always pass the Divrei HaMekel. So that was his Miklole Itma. Perhaps when you repeat in the name of Rav Shulman and Levi that we pass the Abraham Yemim Hem Nuri, is because you knew generically that Rav Shulman and Levi always pass the Divrei HaMekel Be'erev, and therefore you said, oh, Rav Shulman and Levi said we pass like Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. She said, no. I heard him directly address our specific Mishnah, and he said, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Why did Rabbi Shimon ben Levi have to repeat it twice in our case? In other words, once we know that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said throughout Masechtas Erevin that we go halachic Divrei HaMekel, so why was it even necessary for him to refer to our Rabbi Shimon ben Levi of the Mishnah? We need both. Ah, what's the chumra that we're talking about? That's what we were talking about the Hefzi Hefker a minute ago. That even though the Gabi, the sleeping individual, he gets a kula of 2,000 amis and not 4 amis. The Gabi, these sleeping Hefzi Hefker, these inanimate objects, here Rabbi Yechman Nuri is the machmir. You can't just simply take it home. You have to determine that your home is within 2,000 amis of the chafetzim. Otherwise, you can't take them home because you're taking them out of their own tchum. Even these chafetzim have a tchum. You see how from these chafetzim are? They have their own tchum Shabbos. You can't take it away. So therefore, if we were passing a bechman nuri, bein mekula bein mechum. Kamash melacha givri amekul ba'ir, when it comes to the chafetzi hefker, no! You can take the chafetzi hefker to your home, not a problem. Why don't you just simply say Alokhi Divya Mekel, so I would know we always pass like Divya Mekel. Alokhi Rabbi Nuri, Lomali. It's so that Chaman Hanim Yochim B'mokim Yochim. V'rabim Mokim Rabim. Av Yochim Mokim Rabim Eim Aloi. That's why you have to go and say this. What does he want to mean? We said Shkoyach. We said Alokhi Divya Mekel B'Erev. What means Alokhi Divya Mekel B'Erev? Alokhi Divya Mekel B'Erev means that we're always Mekel. So anytime you find a machloikus around the sechtes Erevin, you're not sure how we paskin, we go the kula. Says the Gemara, I might have thought that this general halacha of halacha Divrei HaMekel perhaps only applies if you're talking about a machloikus between individuals, Reb Meir mit Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon mit Reb Eliezer, or what have you. Or you have Rabim against Rabim. You have two against two, like we had in that earlier mission of Rav Gamliel together with Lozman Azariah, going against Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Akiva. So you have a Rav mit a Rav. So I don't know how we paskin. I look up Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say. I look up the Rambam, it doesn't say. You know what? Halach Yedivya Mekel Ve'erev, we're going to go to the coolest side. But if you have a Rabbim against the Yochid, like our Mishnah, Rabbi Yechon Menuri was just a single individual, maybe married. He's single in terms that he's only one person. And then you have the Chacham in the Mishnah. That's already at least two or three. You have the rabbis generally. So I would think that the halacha of Kedivya Yamekel Be'erev might not apply. Kamash Malon, that the halacha of Kedivya Yamekel Be'erev, even if you happen to be a lone outsider against the rabbin, even then, says Rav Shimon Levi, Paskim Kedivya Yamekel Be'erev. Fine. That's what Abaye said, very nice, explaining why we need both the, or the Reb Zeira said, we needed both to go and tell you the Reb Shub and Levi twice, both in our case, Reb Yochanan Nuri, and generally. So now, Omali Rav Labaye, Rav says Abaye, I don't really understand what's going on. Mechti Eruvin Diraban, Hilchas Eruvin, meaning Hilchas Tchumen, all of that is Diraban, except for Reb Akiva. Is Mali Yochim Mokin Yochim, Mali Yochim Mokin Rabin? Why does it make a difference if it's one Yochid against the Yochid against Rabbim? After all, this is Drabonans anyway. If I have a Machloikis and I'm not sure how we pass it, we should go Lekula, even if it's a Yochid Mokim Rabbim. I don't understand the difference between Yochid and Yochid, Yochid and Rabbim. Amalei Rapapa L'Rava. So Rapapa says, Rava, really? Is that what you feel? Ubedrabban Leishanilan Ben Yochid the Mokim Yochid the Yochid Mokim Rabban. Didn't you ever find these types of distinctions even Bedrabbanon? Vatanan, we learned at the very beginning of Masechtas Nida, as you'll recall. All Kolonoshim Dayin Shatan. What is this Halacha of Dayin Shatan? So just a very, very quick reminder of what we learned in the beginning of Masechtas Nida, that when a woman sees her normal menstrual period blood, her normal cycle, thank you, Daniel. So from that point on and future, she's got to be very careful not to touch Truma, not to touch Taharis, and of course she's Asura Labala, because at this point she has a din of Tumah. But what about yesterday and the day before and the day before? So we had a Machloikes Shammai in Hillel and the Rabban in the first Mishnah, and we have Reb Elazar in the later Mishnayos. Legabe, whether I'm concerned about going back retroactively. In other words, it's Thursday morning. She wakes up and she sees that she was Poris Nida, that she got her cycle. And yesterday, on Wednesday, she was baking and cooking the whole day, Trumis and Taharis. Do I have to be concerned that already yesterday she was already Tameya? And even though there was no outside flow yesterday, she only saw it this morning. However, it's because the kostle harechem hemidua. It could be that she already had blood that left the makar, left the uterus, and it's in the canal waiting to come out, and it came out this morning. So maybe she was already tumah yesterday, and therefore all the truma, and all the taharis that she cooked and baked yesterday, maybe they're all tumahs. So therefore, is a machloikis. The Chachomim say in the beginning of the Masechta that you go back amisles or pkid l'pkida, whichever one is less. What does that mean, amisles or pkid l'pkida? Amisles means 24 hours. You don't go back more than 24 hours. In other words, I don't have to worry. If it's Thursday morning, she doesn't have to worry about what happened on Tuesday or Monday or whatever. And there's also pkid l'pkida. Pkid l'pkida means the last time she did an internal inspection to see whether or not she saw blood. Nowadays, we don't have women going and making internal inspections on a daily basis because there's no need to. If and when they see blood, they'll know from that point on that they should not live with their husbands. However, unfortunately, today we don't have dinim of truma and taharis. Hopefully, that will change very, very shortly. But until that point, there's no truma and taharis to speak of the gabi these halachas. So we're not concerned about. But in the times of Chazal, in the times when they did have truma and taharis, they used to go and inspect themselves every morning, in the morning, in the evening, just to make sure that they are still taharis.
We don't rely at all on the reliability of the cycle, the timing of it,
It's a very, very good question. Now you're really going deeper into the Masechta, and the Gemara says it depends on whether she has what's called a Vesis Kavua or Vesis She'ena Kavua. Vesis Kavua means that she has a set time period that every single month, always on the 28th day,
she can rely
on that. But most, especially today, most women have a Vesis She'ena Kavua, which means sometimes it's 28 and sometimes it's 32, and next month will be 25 and the next month will be 31. It kind of keeps us on the move.
That's the air pollution.
Because of the air pollution? Really? Okay, I didn't know that. Anyway, whatever the reason is, but those are the facts. The scientific basis thereof, you can go and ask the scientists.
Their vessel is not Kodesh Lisa, it's always 90.
Exactly, it's always 90, always on the move. Exactly right. Anyway, the point is, those women that do not have a Vesis Kavua, thank you for adding that additional point, since they don't have Vesis Kavua, so I don't know when they're going to see blood or not, so every time I have to worry about retroactively. Now, what's the max retroactively? The maximum is the 24 hours, and if she did a Pekida in the middle of the 24 hours, in other words, she woke up Thursday morning, she was wet, however, Wednesday evening, before she went to sleep, she did a Bedika, and she saw everything was clean. Then you don't have to worry about 24 hours. Everything on Wednesday, Baruch Hashem, was tor because she did a bedikah before she went to bed.
In a sense, this is a little bit of a makeup.
Oh, for sure, it's a greiser kula. Yeah, but we're going to be in a bigger kula, and the bigger kula is going to be now Rebbe Lezer. Vozok yitz Rebbe Lezer. What not? Rebbe Lezer oimit. Says Rebbe Lezer on the side, says Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer oimit kol isha she'ovru aleha sholosh oinois da yeshata. There's a category in Masechtas Nida called a Mesulekes Dam. Your typical Mesulekes Dam. Mesulekes Dam means a woman that does not expect to see her period for one of four reasons. either because she's a psula. Psula means not the way we normally think of a psula, a woman that hasn't gotten married yet. We're talking about a psula, a girl that is still young. She's only 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. She hasn't come to the oinas psulim, to the time when she starts seeing blood. So an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, she doesn't expect to see blood. So if she sees blood for the first time prematurely, I'm not worried about yesterday because she's never seen blood before in her life. Same thing applies to umuveris, a person who is pregnant. Same time to a menika, a woman that is nursing, and also zakena. When a woman is already 119 years old and she has not seen blood for the last 40 years, if she sees blood now on her 119th birthday, I'm not worried about the day before because I'm assuming... Yeah, the math is off. Anyway, so bottom line is, welcome. That's the din of Daishat. Reb Lezer adds, even if she's not in one of those four categories, but Avrulea Sholish Hainais, what means Avrulea Sholish Hainais? So feel free to join us, we'd be glad to have you. This is a Gemara over there, Daishkoyach, for your Messias Nefesh. We're on Memvav of Meralev Josh. Welcome, Gemach Sivatevi, good convention. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, what happens if you have a woman that three cycles in a row she didn't see blood? For whatever reason. Maybe she got pregnant now. Maybe she's gotten out to menopause. Whatever the reason is, she didn't see blood three times in a row. Then, Daishata, we can rely that it only started from now and further and not go back retroactively. Azizu Kriblezer. V'tanya, and we learned that by some mass of the also Rebbe Kriblezer, Rebbe had one time such a situation where a woman asked him, for three periods I didn't see any blood, and which means, says Rashi, 90 days approximately, and guess what, yesterday I cooked and baked and this morning I did see blood, what's the din? So Rebbe Paschal Mekriblezer, that Yishata, everything from yesterday is kosher, Yusha, it's all Tohar, you don't have to worry. Ach Shenizker, subsequently, when Rebbe was thinking about this further, Omar, he said, I made a mistake, I made a boo-boo, I shouldn't have Paschal like Mekriblezer. But B'Shas Adchak, Kedai Hu Reblezer, Lizvach Ola B'Shas Adchak. Now, what's the reason why he should not have Paschal like Mekriblezer? As we'll see in a moment, because the Rabbanan disagree. And the Rabbanan say that the only ladies that have a cheskes misulokis damim are one of those four. The besula, the uberis, the meinika, and the zakena. But not a lady that didn't see three times in a row. I don't know why she didn't see three times in a row, but that has nothing to do with the halacha. You cannot rely on that for dayishat. And if Rebbe had remembered, he would not have paskin like Reb Lezer, he would have paskin like the chacham. And he would have said that the truma and taharis of the day before, in fact, unfortunately, are tameh. But he had not recalled, and he had paskin like Reb Lezer, lihakel. Ach Shniska, when he remembered a day later or a week later, Omar, he said, I feel bad, but kedai hu Reb Lezer lismachol b'shas adchak. In other words, b'di'evet, no, nishkefelech Reb Lezer is also a great giant, I could rely on him b'di'evet. Okay, so that's the story. Now we can more analyze the story. My Ach Shniska, what did Rebbe mean when he said, after I remembered? Is it that he remembered that you look up at Shulchan Aruch, and in Shulchan Aruch it says very clearly, Paschal like the Rabbanon, and not like Reb Lezer, and now says Rebbe, I really goofed. But, you know, B'Shas Chachak, Paschal like Reb Lezer, Nishkefelech. If that's not the halacha, that's not the halacha. You can't go back in the Shulchan Aruch and every time say, okay, the Shulchan Aruch paskin like X, Y, and Z from the Gemara, but there are other views in the Gemara. I like those other views. You can't. It's already get paskin. We're done. No more time for machlokas. Everybody agrees that's the psak. So how did Rebbe say lachishinska? Ella must be a situation like itma hilchas aleikir ablezer v'loikir abanon. It's talking about a situation where in fact the halacha had not been codified yet. You look up the Shulchan Aruch, it leaves out this halacha. So I don't know what to do now. And therefore, the achshen iskar. What means the achshen iskar? The lav yochen paligalei el rabbi yele. That it wasn't one against one. It was one against the rabbim, against the rabbanon. Since it didn't say and the feirish psak aloch and shulchan aruch, Omar, he said, no, kedai Reb Lezer lismach lo b'shas adchak. B'shas adchak, I'm going to rely on Reb Lezer nishkeferlach. So what do I see from all of that? I see that there in fact is a difference between a yochid against a yochid or a yochid against a rabbin. That now that Rebbe remembered that this was yochid Reb Lezer against the Rabban, which is the Rabbim, I shouldn't have paskened that way. But Bishas Adchak, okay. So you see that there is this concept of differentiating between Yochid and Yochid and Yochid Verabim. And that's why Rapapa says now to Rabba, remember it was Rabba that asked Abaye, Abaye, did we ever hear by Derabonans that there's a difference between Yochid and Makam Yochid and Yochid and Rabim? The din of Dayeshata to be Choshesh 24 hours of Mafreya, that's Rabban. Of course, the din of Nid is the Araisa. That goes without saying. However, that I have to worry about that yesterday she was already Tameya because the Koisli Beis Arechem Hemidu, that they kept back the blood, that's a Drabban and Nikachash. Normally say, Kan Nimtza, Kan Hoya, when I find it, then I have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it yesterday and 3 days ago and a week ago. That's Drabban. So you see that even by Drabban, that we are distinguishing between Yochid V'Yochid and Yochid V'Rabim. That was challenge number one to Rava. Challenge number two, Amra Mishar Shal Rava. The Amir Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rava. Rava was the one that said, by Drabban, we are worried about Yochid V'Rabim, Yochid V'Yochid. Ube Drabban, Loishani, says Rav Mishar Shal Nachman Yitzchak Rava. By Drabban, we don't find this. Loishani bin Yochid, B'makim Yochid, bin Yochid, B'makim Rabim. But I will bring you another Drabban. And this Rabbanan now relates to Hilchos Avelus. And what does it say in the Brayse of Atanya? Shmua Koroi Benehegis Shiva. If a person at Chas HaSholem found out about a close relative that passed away, and it was a Shmua Koroiva, as we'll see in a moment, Shmua Koroiva means that you heard it within 30 days of the passing of the individual. For us, a lot of that doesn't, we can't really relate to it because everything is technology, everything is instantaneous. When a mosquito dies in South Korea, you can hear it around the whole world in 1 second. It goes viral. In fact, you can even see a video of how he's dying, and then they have Mosquito Lives Matter, and I'm actually going to the demonstration. I'm sorry?
Facebook Live. Facebook Live,
exactly. But that's today. But in that time, Shmua Kroiva means that you heard it quickly, as the Gemara will define that in a moment, within 30 days. Then the Hege Shiva. Then you have to be knowing the halachas that apply to Shiva. Shiva over here is not necessarily only talking about sitting on the ground, like we think of the word Shiva. You see Rashi in the bottom, the last three lines, the Hege Shiva l'rechitza u'letachboises, that one's not allowed to take a shower, one's not allowed to do laundry. The Gabi Shloshim, which we're going to learn in another moment, u'shloshim, continue on, Shmua Kroiv in the Hege Shiva u'shloshim, Shloshim says Rashi, baita l'tespoides, to take a haircut or a beard trim, etc. u'legiyotz, to go and press the clothing with a with an iron, exactly, shkoyach, miyom shinishvulei, from the day that he heard. So if the shmua kroiv in the hegeshiva, shloish, rehoikev, it's already an old shmua, you only heard about this after a time period, we'll see in a moment what that time period is, and the heges eliyemechad, you only have a 1 day shiva situation. Beizi kroiv, beizi rehoikev, so what's taka kroiv, what's rehoikev, betoich shloishim, Kroiva, if you heard about Nebuch that someone passed away, a close relative that you would normally have to sit Shiva, etc., you hear within 30 days, that's called a Shmua Kroiva. So even though you only heard it 29 days after Mrs. Smith passed away on September 1st, you only found out about it on September 24th, 25th, 26th, it's already 25, makes no difference, you still have the dinam of Shivu Shloshim. If you hear about Lach Shloshim, she passed away September 1st, and you hear about it October 15th, oh, then it's already a Shmua Kroiva, Shmua Rechoika, sorry. Shmua Rechoika, you only have to worry about this for 1 day, and then you're done with the entire Shiva and Shloshim. Dim Rebbe Kiva. The Chalaimim Chacham says, oh, no, Rebbe Kiva. Ach, Shmua Kroiva, Yach, Shmua Rechoika, Nehege, Shivu Shloshim. Even if you're about it 6 months later, you still have to worry about Shiva and Shloshim. Full 7 days and a full 30 days, even though it's much longer later. Obviously, Rebbe Kiva is much more makel, because Rebbe Kiva says once 30 days pass, you only got a 1 day shivun shlash. Typically, if you have a yochid that is makel, the rabbin that is machmir, then you're going to go bust the roif. Except for this case, the case of this Aveil, Shmur, Chayke, Shmur, Kreiber, Sha'av, Bisha, Bekiva, Mekav, Chom, Machmirin, and therefore, based on the general rule, I should say we should be Machmir. Halachik, Divri, Bekiva! Now, why talk the Lachik, Divri, Bekiva? Why talk, don't we say, Roiv, Ha, Machmir, Sabalik, Shmur, the Yam, Shmur, Halachik, Divri, Mekav, Be, Evel. When it comes to Aveilus, we go according to the one that is Mekav, says Imar, Aveilus, Huda, Kila, Barabban. Alma filu b'drabanan shani ben yachem makim yachem ben yachem makim rabin. Avelus is special, special dinim. Everything when it comes to avelus, will always go kedivrei ha meikel. Aha, says the Gemara. That's only because avelus is a special category on its own. But all other drabanans, we would distinguish between yachem b'yachem yachem and yachem makim rabin, and we would say that we're paskin like the drabanan and not like Rabbi Akiva, and that we would have to be noheg chas v'sholim shivu shloishim even by a shmur rechoyka. So I have two solid, rayas against Rava. Rava had postulated that perhaps there is no difference between yachem b'makim yachem and in Yochan Mamakim Rabban by Drabbanan, we should always be Mekel. I see both by Hilchas Nida Lemafreya, as well as by Hilchas Abelus, that by Drabbanan there is a din after, there is a differentiation between Yochan Mamakim Yochan and Yochan Mamakim Rabban. Yes, Josh.
Just the Rashi and the Gemara seems to be mashma that the key time of Abelus is the Shloshim and the Shiva, and not really the 12 months. And I guess, you know, when you usually go through mourning for a sibling or for a child, we only have the 30 days. And the extension to 12 months is only for a parent.
Correct. That's readily apparent.
Which would seem to be shown on this in this tzad, that really the full mourning is up to 30 days. It's only with the parent that you extend it to 12, rather than you expect to be 12 months, and with the sibling you cut it back down to 30 days.
No, I hear you loud and clear. I mean, obviously, our Gemara doesn't go into the year, and perhaps, you know, this Gemara is only brought here from left field because we're talking about Rabbanan, so we try to find Rabbanans throughout Shas where there is a distinction between Yochid v'Rabban and Yochid v'Yochid. Most of Hilchos
Avelus. Yeah, though, if somebody is mourning outside of their parents, you still mourn for 12 months?
I'm not sure what you mean. The person.
Let's say somebody has a spouse or a sibling or a child. Do they have any mourning post the 30 days?
They do not have post 30 days and no din of avelus.
Right. So that's the sign.
That's what Agmar is discussing. But it could very well be, you know, all of these halachas of Hilchos Avelus, I wouldn't say all, but 99% you find in Masechta Moed Katan. Could be that right after this Gemara, there's another Gemara that talks about the dinim of avelus after a parent, where it's taka 1 year, what the dinim would be about Shmur Kroiv and Shmur Achayka. Our Gemara doesn't go into it, you'd have to look up elsewhere, Moed Katan, or whatever the Gemara brings those out. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara over here, we're returning now to the original kasha that we asked at the top of the Amud Beis. The top of the Amud Beis, we said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had issued two psakim. One generic, a general psak that halacha kedivi hamekel be eruv. And number two, that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the case of the person who fell asleep on Friday night at the time of Bein Hashemeshes. And we asked, why did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi have to say the halacha twice? Once I know halacha to be a mekel ba'erev, after all, Rabbi Yechim Manuri is being mekel, showing that would have been enough. Why do I have to repeat it twice? Zukti Mar, Rapapa Omar Itzrich, I'll tell you why we need it twice. So could I decham menahani mila ba'erev echad seirois. If you just said halacha to be a mekel ba'erev, I would think that only applies to eruv echad seirois. But not ba'erev tchumen. Eruv tchumen, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, is more chomor than eruv echad seirois. And therefore, since Rabbi Yechim Manuri and our Mishnah is talking about eruv tchumen, he's talking about whether or not the sleeping person is Kodesh Misa or is Tchum on Friday night. So there I might have thought we don't pass in Divri HaMekel, only by Eruv Echad Seirois, but not Eruv Tchumen. Therefore, that's why he had to go and say not only Halacha Divri HaMekel Be'eruv generally, but also specifically in our case of Eruv Tchumen, we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. As again, it's so that I'm in hand in the middle of a chater. So we're with whom in Allah is Sricha. Faith in Mormon, not Tamer Dishonel and Benny Ruvi Chater. I never heard this before. I always thought Eruv and Eruv. Eruv Chater is Eruv Tchum and Eruv Tavshilin. Where do you come up that the Eruv Chater is in Momekel? Yes, it is Momekel. Did not. Or Rabbi Yehuda Mehmed of Mormon and Eruv Tchum. Eruv Chater is Ma'arvin Ben Ladas, Ben Shaloy Ladas. She's a Chalam Shalom Befana, Ben Zachal Adam, Chavala Adam, Ella Befana. What is this all about? You have two people. You have Yankel and Beryl. Both Yankel and Beryl are coming home very, very late from a business meeting on Friday afternoon. Baruch Hashem, they're going to get home before Shabbos, but it's going to be only minutes before Shabbos, and it's really going to be the last moment. And I, the good doer, I want to go and make sure that both Yankel and Beryl have all the full comforts of Shabbos. So, number one, Yankel and Beryl lived together in that same chatzer, Ruv Chatzeros, and so therefore, even though I was not able to get challah from them or get sudas from them to be able to merge all of the homes in the chatzer as one, and therefore the chayr I shouldn't be able to make an Eruv Chatzeros, the answer is, I can be zoche on their behalf, Eruv Chatzeros, and say, I'm having mine for Yankel and Beryl, and I give matzahs for them, I give challahs for them, so they should be able to go and carry throughout the whole Shabbos in the chatzer. But what happens if the same Yankel and Beryl, or one of the two, wants to go, perhaps, to, what does he want to go to?
To
Kushkin Halash, on that Shabbos, and I don't really know, I'm not sure. I cannot go and be mezaka, only ladas. Ladas means I have to go and call him up and say, Yankel, do you really want to go to Kushkin Halash? After all, you keep on telling me about this for so many years now, and you've never gone. Do you really want to go this week, or don't you? So I have to go and do it midas, I can't do it shloi midas. Now, what's the reason why Eruv Chatzeros you can go and do and be mezaka for him without asking the guy? And why by Eruv Tchumen do you have to ask him? So it's very, very, very simple. Because the right to carry in one's chatzer, the chayra only has benefits, it doesn't have any disadvantages, right? It's only credits, no debits. Zenadar, exactly right. The person only has pure credit as a result. So the person wants to have that benefit. However, in the case of Eruve Tchumen, every time you add one more amma towards the north, you lose an amma to the south. And if you get 2,000 amas to the north, you lose 2,000 amas to the south. So it's at the same time that it's a schus, it's also a choy. Sorry, it's a?
House rules.
Pastor rules?
House rules.
House rules, house rules.
One way, everyone has to follow that same rule.
Exactly right. It's therefore, says Yimar, did not, I'm reviewed by Medev, I'm reviewed by Eruv Chatzeros. Eruv Chatzeros, you got to ask the person, it's got to be lodas. And that's why it works. I don't have to ask him, but I do have to ask him. So you see, it's more chomor in that sense. So I might have thought that halacha to be a mekel me'ariv is only by Eruv Chatzeros and not by Eruv Tchumen. Kamash Malan, that's the reason why we have to say halacha. Rabbi Yechman Nuri was talking about Hilchos Tchumen. Rav Ashi might have another teretz why Rabbi Shu ben Levi had to say both halakha to be a mekel be'erev and halakha to be a mekel be'erev, because it's just sokadai techamin hani mila b'shiurei erev. Maybe only the case where the erev is getting shirayim, it's dwindling in size. But tchilas erev emalai. What are you talking about shiurei erev? So Rashi says, person puts away an erev, let's say for 3, 4, 5 weeks, either eruv v'chatzeres. Or a Ruvi Tchumen. A Ruvi Chatzeres that they put in Yankel's house, and it's going to be there for a few weeks. In fact, most modern day Erevin put away a Pekel Matzis from year to year, from Pesach to Pesach. Some people do it more frequently, but some people just put it away one time. And see here too, they put away the food for several weeks. And, or by the Ruvi Tchumen, he put, by the 2,000 Amma line, he put down his Erev over there. And at that time, there was plenty to eat for him and for his family. And then he comes back a few weeks later, and guess what? The food has dwindled. Why is it dwindled? Perhaps some of it has rotted. Perhaps animals have eaten part of it. Perhaps human beings have eaten part of it.
Washed away by the rain.
Washed away by the rain. You can think of perhaps 1,000 different cases and think about them after the shear is over, because if you're going to think about all 1,000 now, you're not going to have enough time to finish. Anyway, so the Gemara says, by Shiuri Erev, if you're not sure, Vuz Van V, as long as you know originally that there were two seudois for any person that is affected by these Eruvi Chatzeres, Eruvi Tchumen, even though now you're down to one, and in fact, even if you're down to just a quarter of a seudo, or much, much less, I'm always going to say, for the koshu, as long as originally was okay, Shiuri Erev is also okay. So that being the case, that Shiuri Erev is okay, so there's a built-in kula. Oh, that's why halachi to be a mekel be'erev. Because b'shiur erev, anyway, we're talking about later on in the process where being mekel, you don't have to have the two sudas anymore, as long as it was originally two sudas. So that halachi to be a mekel be'erev.
It's not really mekel, that's the halacha. I mean, as long as you start off with what you need, the whole purpose is that you're supposed to eat it.
Yeah, but even if you know for sure that it's not there anymore, you come Friday night.
But as long as you know it was there at the beginning.
Absolutely.
We already made that, that was a set thing. As long as Bein HaShemashos was there, it carries through for Shabbos.
But it's not only for this Shabbos. I had Bein HaShemashos last Shabbos. two Shabbosim ago. Last Shabbos, we didn't have the Parsha. Two Shabbosim ago was Parsha the Tzum Vayevich. I had two Sudas over there at the Mokum Shvisa of the 2000 Amalai. And I was there, the whole Benish Moshe was there, no question about it. Now I'm coming back Friday night before Benish Moshe's. And I see that the two Sudas are now down to one Suda. Do I have to quickly rush home and get a second Suda? The answer is no. As long as it was good 2 weeks ago, it continues to be good. As long as there's still a mashu left. Once it's all consumed, all washed out, or they got a new one. But in the meantime, you can go and still use the shirayim of the old. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about another couple of lines again. Anyway, I'll leave the shirayim. So therefore, it's so kuladik in the sense that I don't have to rush home and bring back another two sudais. That's why I look in Remekel Be'erif. But Patchila Seiv, when I'm making the Erif for the first time, aim alight. Now, our Mishnah is not talking about making a brand new Erev, but it's similar to making a brand new Erev because this person is asleep and he wants to get the benefit of a Mokum Shvisa of 2,000 Amis. Mister, if you don't wake up, you might miss the whole Benish Moshe's Kvias Shvisa. Says Rabbi Yechman Nuri, even if he missed it, we go to Hakel and we give him 2,000 Amis. So without saying Halakhi B'Yech Menuri, I would say Halakhi B'Yech Menuri B'Eiv is only by Shiyuri Eiv. But not if he's talking about Tchila Seirev. That's why, Maloi Kamash, that's what we have to say, we pass on B'Yech Menuri, even at the creation of the Tchom, the creation of the Eiv, also as well. Freddy Marminot, where did you ever hear this? I never heard this until now, that 2 weeks later you don't have to have a full two suitors. Marminot, even the Shalom, men Shiyuri Eiv, the Tchila Seirev, the Martin Nanam Rabbi Yoisi. When do you say that you have to have two full sudas? This is in Mishnah later on our Masechta. Until Bemedimum, when do you say you have to have two sudas per person? Betchila said, "Abshur Erev Afila Kolshu." He had to say Afila Kolshu. You had these lavish two humongous chalas enough for 100 people, and now you're down to a little brekula, a little crumb. Still enough, 3 weeks later. The first week, of course, you have to have be by the Benish Moshe, it has to be there. But weeks later, you can still rely on that Alta Eid of the historical Eid. The Gemara adds another nekuda over here. And the Gemara is telling us that mi'ikr didina, in other words, from the real origins of the halacha, the importance of the two sudas is really the eruv tchumen. Because eruv tchumen, a person wants to establish his residence, brand new residence. Until now, he always lived on the corner of 91st Street and Western Avenue. But I want to be able to go and walk 2,000 Amis towards Newark, New Jersey. I don't think I'll ever be able to get there. It's more than 2,000 Amis. But I want to go at least in that direction. So what do I do? Well, I can certainly go beyond the city limits, 2,000 Amis, but I want to go even further towards Newark. So I have to go and put down my Erev. For that purpose, to go and make a brand new temporary residence for Shabbos, I got to go and put down my two suits. When it comes to the din of a Ruve Chatzeres, that is really not essential. It's as long as we're all in this together, we're all friends, and therefore my home is your home, and you allow me to come as I want, as I wish, even theoretically without any Seudais. But the main reason why we put away Seudais for a Ruve Chatzeres, that everybody is joint owners of food in Yankel's home, the reason is mainly, says the Gemara, Shloim Vishkach Tredes Edom HaTinoikis, because we want the new generations, the new children, to realize that there's an inyan of Sudais, not so much by a Ruve Chatzeres, but by a Ruve Tchumen, because it's much more common for Ruve Chatzeres. Everywhere in the world you have tumult. Yeah. Your Erev is your good, the Erev is good, is it up, is it down, the police are for it, against it, is it litigation? Ruve Chatzeres, everybody knows the Ruve Chatzeres. But a Ruve Tchumen, when's the last time you put an Eruv Tchumen? I want to be able to go. When's the last time you wanted to go to Kishkan Halash? Very, very rare that people want to go to Kishkan Halash. It's very rare that people even heard of Kishkan Halash. Anyway, so the point is that Eruv Tchumen is not a common everyday event. And if you're not going to require Seudais by Eruv Chatzeirais, then people will forget about the halacha of Seudais by Eruv Tchumen. Ah, so I see from all of this that the whole din of Seudais is much more chomer by Eruv Tchumen than Eruv Chatzeres. And because of that, you only need the Shirayim at the end. That is sufficient for your purposes. Yeah. Shirayim is Shirayim means whatever's left over. Like we said, yes. Shirayim means a remainder. So you start off with a challah, now you're down to a one piece of bread. A brekala. A brekala is a crumb. And that's the mash, it was enough. Anyway, with this, we have. Yeah, Shiraim is what the Rebbe gives you. But in our case, it's even if the Rebbe is not there and you couldn't make it to the Tish, if you started off with much more and you're down to a little, mm-hmm. little nothing, a mashu, that's all to Shiraim for our purposes. But you're right. I'm glad to see your Hasidic underpinnings, Brother Shai. Shining through, exactly. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, we can put two dots over here because we're starting on a new shtickl. Now we're going to return Mir Tashem to our Mishnah, but in the meantime, we start a new shtickl. And that is, since we kept on talking now for the last half an hour, the Rebbe Shuman Levi Paskins Rebbe Meir Kol Be'er. And he also Paskins Rebbe Yechim Anuri. So now we're going to talk about other great, great Tanoim, and how do we Paskin if there is a Machlekes. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Yankim Rebbe Zrika Amru. Halacha Rebbe Kiva Mechavei Right. Whenever you find that it's one-on-one, Rebbe Kiva arguing with somebody else in the Mishnah, the general rule is, Halacha Rebbe Kiva. Uk Rebbe Yoisi Mechavei Rav. If Rabbi Yossi is arguing with not one, with two or three or more, we still passing like Rabbi Yossi. Now, why was Rabbi Yossi given so much halachic authority? So Barry will remind us. Because Rabbi Yossi nimukai imai. Nimukai imai means that whatever he said was well grounded and well thought through with great analysis, and he had 100 riyas from different treatises and all the rest. He was tremendous. So Rabbi Yossi had nimukai imai. He always had his reasoning with him. His substance. He didn't just say, that's the way it is, Rabbi. If you like it or not, that's it. No, Nimuka Imai, he could bring your eyes for Chuvas Chumsoi, for Chuvas Kiva Eger, for Chuvas this and that, and Lady Behuda. He was an expert in everything. Okay, Rebbe Mechavei Rai. Rebbe is the same like Rebbe Kiva. If it's one on one, we pass him like Rebbe. Zukti Mora Lamai Hilchasa. How far reaching is this that you always pass him like Rebbe Kiva, or always like Rebbe Yossi, like Rebbe? Zukti Mora Rebasi Omer Halach. Reb Chiya Bar Abba Amar Matin, Reb Yosef Reb Chanina Amar Nirin. What are these three Lashonis? So Rashi says that we can rely on this general rule of Reb Kiva Mechavei Rai. In other words, I didn't look it up in Shulchan Aruch. I just had it in my Mishnah, Reb Kiva and Reb Shimon. Passing like Reb Kiva. It is so strong, says Rabasi Halacha, when I'm giving my Shabbos Shuva Drasha on Shabbos, I can say to all the 1,000 participants, Rabbeisai, I want you to know that Halacha is like Reb Kiva, because that's a solid, solid rule. Reb Chiya Bar Abba said, nah, I wouldn't go that far. You really have to check, because maybe occasionally we don't passing like Reb Kiva, and therefore matin. Matin means that if someone privately comes over to you and says, there's a machloikis in the mission between Reb Shimon and Reb Kiva, how do I passkin? I go and tell him, I think you should passkin like Reb Kiva. But don't go and spread the word, because for spreading the word to go and make this a public demonstration, and that, for that I need a Reb Yossi that can go and bring rayas from all the chuvisvarim and from all the achrayim. I can't go that far. So matin, somebody asks you privately, you can rely on this rule. Rabbi Yisrael Mechanina says, you can't even rely on this rule, lichatchila, it's only nirin b'dievet. If somebody comes over to you and says, I want you to know X, Y, Z happened, and I relied on Rabbi Kiva, and then you can say, okay, no, you rely on Rabbi Kiva, kedayu Rabbi Kiva b'shas adchak, that's fine, but you cannot rely on this lichatchila, you have to really go through all the gemaras and all the poskim to be able to make a final decision. Kaloshin azeh om Rabbi Yankim bar Idi, Amr Rabbi Yechanan, he said something very similar, that Ramey Rabbi Yehuda halach Rabbi Yehuda. If you find Ramey Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, he passed like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi halach Rabbi Yossi. The Ein Tzarech Loima Ramey Rabbi Yossi halach Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, by a process of very simple deduction, if you have A and B and you say B is better than A, and you have B and C and you say C is better than B, then C must be better than A, right? Uh-huh. If B is better than A and C is better than B, then C must be better than A. So here too, you have Ramey Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. You have Ramey Rabbi Yossi, you pass like Rabbi Yossi. So if you're passing like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda, and you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda against Ramey, so Mela, then Main Tzarech Laim, Ramey Rabbi Yossi, Loch Rabbi Yossi. Because Hashem Mokar Rabbi Yehuda, lesser. Once you tell me that when you have Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda is wiped away, he's lesser. We don't pass him like him. The Mokar Rabbi Yosef, Yeboya, it's really Hashem Mokar Rabbi Yehuda lesser. Madach Rabbi Meir in Rabbi Yehuda's presence, Rabbi Meir falls away. Then certainly Rabbi Meir in front of Rabbi Yosef certainly falls away, because Rabbi Yehuda also falls away in front of Rabbi Yosef. Good. Om Ravasi. So once again, we have the same thing like we had before. Avani Loimid. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Alocha, Ke Rabbi Yosef. When you have Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, you pass like Rabbi Yosef. The Omer of Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is better than, quote unquote, better than. We pass like him over Rabbi Shimon. Sorry?
Leans towards him.
Leans towards him?
Leans towards him. Like
good. Oh, matan. Okay, good. But at the moment, we're not getting to matan yet. But in the meantime, we just say Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Loch Reb Yehuda, Hash the Bamakam Reb Yehuda, Lesser the Bamakam Reb Yosi Miboya. So that goes back again. We had said Reb Asi, Afani Loimi Reb Yosi Reb Shimon Haloch Reb Yosi. How do I know Reb Yosi Reb Shimon Loch Reb Yosi? Because he said, if you have Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon Haloch Reb Yehuda, and we said before Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi Haloch Reb Yosi. In the Meila, Reb Shimon Reb Yosi Haloch is Reb Yosi. What happens if you have a mayor against Reb Shimon? We established that Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda is victorious. Halach is like Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, again, Reb Yehuda. But what happens to the mayor, Reb Shimon? They're both the quote-unquote the losers when they're going against Reb Yehuda. What happens between them themselves? Might to the mutation, they could teach me that. Which Reb Yehuda, whenever we're referring to Reb Yehuda and he's arguing against Reb Meir or Reb Shimon, we're talking about the Tana Reb Yehuda, and we've just heard now from Barry authoritatively that the Tana Reb Yehuda is Reb Yehuda B'Reb Eloi. Good? Very well. Continue on the bar. My take. Omer Misharsha. Less than Lani Klovi. Says Reb Misharsha, all of these rules that we just learned now are all fascinating and fantastic, but we don't follow these rules after all. How do we know? Minole, little Bshar Sheha, it is a Bshar Sheha, from our Mishnah. Oh, that's how we got into this. Ilim Adetanan. What does it say in our Mishnah? Bshimen Oimer, Lamad Ovid Doim, Gimachatez, Psuch Zulazul, Psuch Haifurish Serabim. What was it all about? Remember, we had in our Mishnah yesterday.
Yeah.
You had three people, where the three people were all with overlapping Tchumen. And you had one to the right, one to the left. The difference between right and left was 8 amos. And therefore, the right person and the left person could not get together because they only have 4 amos.
The middle guy could get together.
Oh, but there's a third person, Baruch Hashem, Yov Yakosher Shpish Vechriya B'Neim. He's in the middle, 4 amos. So he can eat with the right guy, and he can eat with the left guy. But he should make sure not to go and transfer the right to the left and left to the right because they are out of each other's home.
Oh, so you couldn't share the food from the right to the guy on the left.
Exactly.
Can they meet in the middle and have dinner together?
The right guy and the middle guy can, and the right and the left guy and the middle guy can, but the right and the left cannot.
Come all the way across.
So Friday night, the middle guy can eat with the guy on the right.
They secretly ship something while he's in.
He should not do anything secretly. And then Shabbos morning, he can eat with the guy on the left, but they, unfortunately, all three of them cannot get together until Malav Malka. But until that point, yeah. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Dinan, so Shimon said, Moshe L'madavadoyim, you have three chatzeros, all open to each other and to Shusram, and you want to be able to go and carry from chatzer Aleph to chatzer Beis, to chatzer Beis, to chatzer Gimel. Says the Gemara, if they all combine together in one united Erev, that would be ideal. But we know amongst Yidlach, it doesn't always work that way.
Midbar,
utopia
right?
Hasn't happened yet.
Midbar.
Yeah, in the Midbar, even nowadays, not all Jews are on the same page. Anyway, so what's the Allah? So, Irvu Shtayim Hachitzoinis Imuem Tzoyis, you have that the outer two chatzeres all made an Erev, an independent Erev. That's the right chatzer with the middle chatzer, and the middle chatzer with the left chatzer. But you don't have the right with the left, because after all, they're on the right and they're on the left, and they're really arguing, should we appoint somebody now, or should we wait until after the election process? These are rightists, these are leftists. Anyway, the rightists and leftists can't get together, they just curse each other, and they have the person in the middle who gets cursed by both. He's the centrist. Exactly. Okay, that's great. Anyway, so Ivish Tamach Hitzani Zoem Tzais. He mutaris imoem, the heim mutaris imo, which Tamach Hitzani says, Surah Zu im Zu. Okay, so what do we have from all this? We pass it like this, Reb Shimon, as was, that the two outer chatzeres cannot get together, only with the middle chatzer. Man Paliglei, and who is the Bar Plukta of Reb Shimon? Reb Yehuda. Now, how do I know that he's a Bar Plukta of Reb Shimon? So Rashi gives two pshatim. Number one, he says, Stam, if you don't know, there's no name. You find there's a Tanakam in the Mishnah, and then there's a Reb Yehuda, then you can, there's a Reb Shimon, then you can assume that the Tanakama, who's nameless, is not Reb Meir, but in fact it's Reb Yehuda, because he's the Stam Bar Plukta of Reb Shimon. That's pshat number one of Rashi. Pshat number two of Rashi is because right before Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, and we had Reb Shimon, turn back just for a second, that Reb Shimon was here at the top of Mem Hei Omid Aleph, four lines from the top of the Omid. I'm sorry, I said Mem Hei Omid Beis, Mem Hei Omid Beis, Omid Beis means the second folio on the other side, right? The second side of the folio. On the fourth line, Amrim Shimon Lamad Dabadoyma, right? Everybody has that fourth line. Yeah. Now, who was the only identified Tana before that? So if you go to the Amid Aleph, and we look at two lines from the bottom of the Amid, we have Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, it makes sense to say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are working together or working apart in this Mishnah, and that is this Bar Plukta in our Mishnah. And guess what? The Gemara just said now, didn't you say a moment ago, for Amris Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda? Elav Shema, mean a lesson of these general rules that we just gave now, they're all well intentioned, they're all wonderful, Abba. We cannot follow them. Pray tomorrow. Who says? Well, my kusha, what's so there? The pshat is, if I know crystal clear that it says in Shulchan Aruch and all the poskim paskin like Reb Shimon, do we paskin like Reb Shimon? When did it say early in the Gemara, they have Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Allah, Reb Yehuda, when I don't know? In other words, you look at Shulchan Aruch, it's empty. That sif katan has been cut out, or it just doesn't exist, and I don't know what the halacha is. Since I don't know, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, halacha, ki Reb Yehuda. But if it says, Mefeidish, halacha, Reb Shimon, okay, so it's like Reb Shimon.
There's nothing to argue.
Nothing to argue about. So I have a raya from somewhere else. What's the raya from somewhere else? It's not. We started off with a smaller city that only had Yechidim, and now it has Shorab. Shorab means that there are 600,000 people that live in this town now. Now, 600,000 always reminds us of not only Manhattan, but also of Rishus Harabim D'Araisa. But this is not a full Rishus Harabim D'Araisa because there are other requirements for Rishus Harabim D'Araisa, including that it should be 16 Amis wide. And this wasn't 16 Amis wide, it was rather smaller and more narrow streets and passageways, but it had 600,000. It started off a little tiny city, and then, whoo, it's expanded. Nas Shoram. Even our old Manhattan started off like, what was it called, New Amsterdam or something, and then it became New York, so it was originally a small little, and then it grew and grew. Right? Tinan Yishul Yom Nas Shoram. Ma'arvin is cool. You can go make an Erev around the entire city, because most people still remember Shonim Kadmonios when it was still a smaller city, it didn't have 600,000. However, if it started off Shorab, people started running away because they opened up all the hotels and they put in all the homeless people, and therefore everybody made a plate. They all ran away. And now because Nas Shiyochid, the only people that are left are the homeless, and they're the ones that are going to have to go and pay all the taxes. Yeah, sure. Nas Shiyochid. Ein ma'arvin es kula elim kein oyse chutzalo ki'ir chadosh b'yudah sheyesh b'chamishim d'yurin divi Reb Yehuda. What the Gemara is saying is that because of the fact that there are now 600,000 people, if I'm not going to make some sort of shinui, some sort of hacker, what I'm concerned is that people are going to understand from this that when you have a town or city of 600,000, that you can make an Eruv and there's no problem and everything is fine. Nah! If you got 600,000, you got major halachic issues. That's why we have our own problem here in Manhattan and in Brooklyn and wherever you have 600,000 people. Not easy to go and make an Eruv. Even if you make the most perfect Tzuras and Pesachs and everything. Still, you got 600,000. It's Rishus Ram D'Araisa. Now, this was not Rishus Ram D'Araisa because it had narrower streets, points out Rashi in the Mefarshim. However, I am concerned that people associate this place as a large Rishus Harabim because thousands and ten thousands and hundreds of thousands of people live here and travel here on a daily basis, and they're going to say, well, if you can go and do it in Warsaw and in New York, so why can't you do it in Detroit and in St. Louis and here and there and everywhere? So therefore they said, you know what, we're going to go and make a small hecker. And the hecker is going to be that we're not going to allow the entire city to be in the Erev. We're going to leave out a small little portion. 50 people who live on the outskirts of the town, they're going to have to make their own Erev. They will not be able to go and join with the Erev of all the people inside the large city. My father told the story of a person that he knew that lived in with either Yonkers or New Rochelle. No, Scarsdale. Oh. There's a lady in Scarsdale, a Jewish lady. She's no longer living. She was not particularly religious, but she wanted to go and sell her house. And she went over to the local real estate brokers and said, real estate broker, how much is my house worth? And he asked her, tell me, is it within the Erev or outside of the Erev? And she said, Erev, what are you talking about? She said, because if it's within the Erev, it's worth $50,000 more. If it's outside of the Erev, it's $50,000 less. So she asked, what exactly is an Erev? It's too hard to explain. It has to do with Jewish religion. Oh, this lady knew my father, and she called up, Mr. Eder, can you do me a favor, please? You have all the sources, you know, you live probably near to a Jewish bookstore. Do me a favor, please buy me one or two Erevs, so because with that, my house will go up $50,000. She was sure the name was like a mezuzah, you know, I'll put the Erev up, and then it's going to be worth $50,000 more. So, obviously, not every, this is a true story. Nebuch, she passed away. She didn't pass away from this story. She passed away 10 years later. She did sell the house, but it was out of the Erev, and she lost a lot of money. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, by now it's probably inside the Erev.
Didn't get as much money.
Whatever. Getting back to our Gemara, the point is that you have to leave out a certain portion so that people should not forget about Hilchus Erev Divrei Reb Yehuda. How much you have to leave? 50 people have to reside outside the Erev, make their own independent Erev, so people should not think, oh, you can make an Erev in Rishus Rabbi Dirais. Reb Shimon Oymer, you don't have to have 50 people, don't push it. Sholish Chatzeir Shel Shnei Batim, which means each Chatzeir has two houses. Let's assume you have one or two people living each house. So you have 6 people, 10 people, 8 people, 12 people, but not 50 people. So obviously, who's the Mekel of Reb Shimon? Reb Yehuda is the Machmir. Now the question is, how do we paskin? Reb Yehuda, didn't you say Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Halacha always kid Reb Yehuda? So you see that the rule of Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Halacha Reb Yehuda is not true. Because Reb Chaim Bar Goy says we pass like Reb Shimon. And again, they can say in Gemara, my kosher, what's so shver? Where it says the fetish, this is machloikis, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, and we pass him like Reb Shimon. We pass him like Reb Shimon. If it doesn't say a codified halacha, what's the rule? As a general rule is, if I don't know otherwise, then we pass him like Reb Yehuda. So therefore, you don't have a raya that the rules that we gave fall away. The rules are strong rules. In those cases where I know for sure we pass Reb Shimon, you don't die. But if I don't know, then you can rely on the rule that your halach is Reb Yehuda. We'll stop here, everybody, saying continue.